Utah is one of the states that Republicans have practically taken for granted in presidential elections. Joining me now to explain why and what matters to Beehive State voters in the current election is Paul Raleigh, a political columnist at the Salt Lake Tribune. He also writes a blog for the Tribune called Gen Raleigh Speaking, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to the show today. Hello.
Hello.
Now, Mitt Romney won Utah's primary on February 5th with 89.5% of the vote. John McCain was second with just 5.4%. So how popular is John McCain in Utah?
Well, not that popular. He's Utah, and as you said, is a very Republican state. They've given the presidential Republican presidential candidate his highest plurality, I think, in every election except for one over the last 30 years of any state. And McCain is seen here as he is in other traditional Republican areas, as conservative Republican areas, as kind of a maverick, not conservative enough. But there's no question that McCain will take Utah, because Utah is a very Republican state, and they'll vote for the Republican ticket.
Were some Utahns also bitter that Mitt Romney didn't catch on with most of the Republican voters, and that the fact that he was a Mormon became a big issue?
Yeah, there was a lot of bitterness over that. Mitt Romney obviously is the most popular candidate in Utah, largely because of his religion. He also headed the Olympic Winter Olympics here in 2002, which turned out to be a great success. So there was bitterness about how the religion was made an issue nationally, and because it was, many saw that as a direct attack on their religion. Utah's got about 65% of Utahns are members of the LDS Church, there were hard feelings. If the one thing that could hurt the Republican ticket in Utah, although it wouldn't be enough to give it to the Democrat, is if Mike Huckabee was on the ticket. He's very unpopular person here in Utah, because he was seen as saying some very, or at least his campaign saying very derogatory things about the Mormon Church.
But we're not hearing the sort of thing we've been hearing from some of Hillary Clinton's supporters on the Democratic side, that since their candidate didn't win, they're not going to vote at all.
No, that won't happen here. Utah always has a high percentage of people who go to the polls. And I don't think Huckabee's going to be on the ticket. I mean, that would hurt McCain a little bit.
Oh, I don't think so either.
Yeah, but there's been, people are wondering around here whether Romney might be on the ticket, and that would be that would be an exciting thing for Utahns. Our governor, we've got a very popular Republican governor, John Huntsman Jr., who actually backed McCain from early on and bucked pretty much the rest of the party here in Utah, the Republican Party.
Now, why would he have done that, considering the fact that he wants to be reelected?
There's no question that he's going to be reelected. There's no threat of that. He's a popular governor. He's got about an 80 to 85% approval rating. That just won't make that much of a difference. I mean, people will forgive him for that. But he did. He and our attorney general both backed McCain early on. There's speculation that if McCain is elected, Governor Huntsman might take a position in the administration. He has been an ambassador before. His expertise is in the areas of China and the Pacific Rim. It's long been believed that he would love to be the ambassador to China.
Mike Leavitt is a former governor who was appointed by President Bush to run the Environmental Protection Agency. So
right,
the governor of Utah
can
lead, being governor of Utah can lead to high-profile appointments.
As long as it's a Republican administration.
Yeah.
And Mike Leavitt actually ran for a third term and won, and then he left in the middle of that term to take a position with the Bush administration.
Now, on the Democratic side, Barack Obama won the February 5th primary with 56.7% of the vote. Hillary Clinton got 39.1%. Why did Obama appeal to Utah's Democrats more than Senator Clinton?
Well, Utahns have never really liked the Clintons. I think it goes back to Bill Clinton. He actually, in 1992, when he won the election, he actually came in third place in Utah, behind Ross Perot, even. Utahns have never taken to the Clintons. I think there might be a little bit of sexism here. I think that if you were to look at any kind of biases or anything like that due to who a person is, I think that there'd be more sexism here than racism.
Despite the fact that Mormon history also, in the past anyway, did have a serious racist aspect.
Yeah, well, for years until 1978, in fact, the anniversary of the Mormon church leaders' revelation, if you want to call it, that's what they call it, black men can hold the priesthood, which is a sacred position in the Mormon church. Up until then, they couldn't, African Americans could not hold the Mormon priesthood. So that was a big deal in 78, and that's a reason, I think, for a lot of that perception. But living here, I really don't see, I don't think that that's an issue that much. I don't think that they would not vote for a person. I mean, some would, of course, I think there are other states who that would be a problem more than Utah.
I'm talking to Paul Raleigh, R-O-L-L-Y, political columnist for the Salt Lake Tribune. We're talking about the political situation in Utah, which was once a strong supporter of the New Deal. What happened? What turned it into such a solidly Republican state?
It began, up until through the 50s and the 60s, Utah was pretty much 50-50 as far as Democrats and Republicans. And there were a lot of we had Democratic governor for 20 years in a row from 1964 to 1984. But what started turning it was the 1972, when George McGovern was the candidate for the National Democratic ticket, and that was when the Democratic Party took a pretty sharp turn on several issues, and issues like at the time the pro-choice, the abortion issue became National Democratic Party was very pro-choice, which is not popular here in Utah. Most Mormons are pro-life.
But the Mormon Church has had, even though it has stayed out of politics, has had a long history of being conservative politically. Ezra Taft Benson, who led the church, had earlier served on President Eisenhower's cabinet, and he'd been one of the most conservative members of that cabinet.
That's true, but the Mormon Church has not always, had their way politically in Utah. Back in the 1930s, the president of the church then was Heber J. Grant, who very much disliked Franklin Roosevelt. For a number of reasons, I guess, but back in those days, the church was not hesitant to make endorsements. They don't do that anymore. They try and avoid it. They try and stay neutral. But back in those days, they were known to endorse candidates. And four times, the Mormon General Conference in the fall is always held just before the election. It's always in October, and then the election is in November. And four times, Heber J. Grant got up at the conference and told the congregation to vote against Franklin Roosevelt because he thought he was a bad man. All four times, Roosevelt swept Utah, and that's because the New Deal was very good to Utah, and because Utah was hit pretty hard by the Depression, and they voted their wallet, their pocketbook, more than their scriptures, I guess.
But not anymore. Although Salt Lake City has remained a part of the state that's friendlier to the Democrats, and you do have a Democratic congressman from the eastern half of the state,
The central, it's Salt Lake County. His district is mostly Salt Lake County, Jim Matheson. But he is... And the Republican legislature pretty much gerrymandered his district in 2001 to try and brought in a more conservative areas to try and defeat him. He's been able to survive because he's been a very conservative Democrat. He's one of the leaders of the Blue Dog Democrats in Congress, and he's actually voted for President Bush's initiatives on several occasions, and sometimes he's made the Democrats here angry, but he's been able to. He hasn't had any problems, and he's been pretty moderate and conservative in his voting record, and so
unlike the mayor of Salt Lake City, Rocky Anderson, who said that President Bush is a war criminal and called for his impeachment. Now, this is in the center of...
The only place that Rocky Anderson could ever get elected in Utah is in Salt Lake City.
It's the capital of the Church of Jesus of Latter-day Saints. How does that happen?
Well, it's an interesting phenomenon because Utah, as you know, is one of the most conservative states in the country. But Salt Lake City not only is a liberal city for Utah, Salt Lake City is, I think, would be considered one of the most liberal cities in Utah. The Mormon population is below 50% in Salt Lake City. It's above 60%, or statewide, but in Salt Lake City it's below 50%. And I think a lot of it might have to do with a backlash. There's a bit of a religious divide here in Salt Lake City, and there is a kind of a backlash toward the church in Salt Lake City. We've got a very active, relatively large for the size of the city, and very active gay community here, and they are. We have a gay pride day and parade here in Salt Lake City, and Rocky Anderson was a very liberal mayor, very outspoken. Some people thought that he was too much so, and that he embarrassed the city with some of his protests and that sort of thing. But he was very popular in Salt Lake City, and if he would have chose to run a third term, I think he would have won.
Now, one of the areas where Utah has been in opposition to the White House has been in the No Child Left Behind area. Why has Utah been opposed to it?
Well, they just think it's a there's a big the local control in education is very big here. The idea of local control and state control, and and Utah's always been an anti-big federal government state, so the belief is, and it's mostly, and it does come from the very right-wing part of the party in the legislature, the anti-No Child Left Behind. But, pretty much the Democrats are obviously very critical of it. The people in the legislature here just don't like federal mandates. And they felt that that was an intrusion on their ability to, to do what they feel is right in public education in Utah.
Now, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are big issues around the country. Are they big issues in Utah? Or is
well,
the possible
they're
recession
big issues
an
everywhere,
issue?
And they're always part of the discussion. But Utahns, the majority of Utahns still back the president in the war. I mean, like what latest polls I saw had President Bush at, what, about a 32% approval rating. In Utah, he's still got, you know, probably a 60% approval rating. It's down. It's lower than it used to be. I mean, you know, his popularity has dropped in Utah, as most other places, but he still has a favorable rating in Utah, which is, you know, where probably most of the other parts of the country does not.
So should the Democrats simply ignore Utah in the election? Write it off?
You know, they have not, and I, well, no, because they have, where Utah might have a possibility, where the Democrats might have a possibility to make some gains in Utah, are some of the legislative races and some of the more localized elections. They, of course, want to keep Jim Matheson, the lone Democrat here in office. And he, you know, he's always in a bit of a precarious position because the demographics of his district now, there are more Republicans than Democrats, but he's been able to attract a number of Republicans and independents, and that's what's kept him alive. Also, after the next census, Utah will get a fourth congressional district, and, you know, the legislature here has always had a history of, you know, chopping up congressional districts to make it as favorable to Republicans as possible. But when you have four districts, it's going to be a little more difficult for them to hold on to everything. And they might have to make a decision to either make one really strong Democratic district and then three Republican districts, or if they want to try and get that fourth, they're going to run the risk of having another district, having two districts that could go either way.
Paul Raleigh is a political columnist at the Salt Lake Tribune. He also writes a blog for the newspaper called Jen Raleigh Speaking. And I thank you so much for talking with us on today's State of the Union.
Thank you.